This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Right now, get the lowest price at EdenPure.com with code word HOWWEDEAL. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Well, we got to stay on the street, and we've got to get more active. We've got to get more confrontational. We've got to make sure that they know that we mean business.
Huh, that's funny. Advocate violence.
And if you look at some of these places that have done this, they've already seen crime go up.
We can tell the difference, and I'll guarantee you that you'll be able to tell the difference. If you come here and riot.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Almost paradoxical that on the one hand they want to be relieved of the restrictions, but on the other hand they don't want to get vaccinated.
Does anyone else have an example of a paradox?
Democrats have a greatly exaggerated view of the danger of COVID-2 and the mortality rate among children. Explains why today the states with the highest share of schools that are still closed are all blue states.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. 844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. We'll keep talking about various matters this hour. But before I do, we should introduce a new topic. As you know, Ayanna Pressley has been one of the people who has been pushing for the cancellation of all student loan debts in the United States, which would be a boon to the upper classes. The federal government is currently exercising loan debt forgiveness. You don't have to pay, in other words, and your balance doesn't go up, unlike your credit card, for instance. And you know how much that's costing us every month as taxpayers? $5 billion a month. The fact that we're allowing deadbeats not to pay. And so Ayanna says we should do it for everybody, you know, and just cancel everything. And there was a hearing last week in the Senate Education Committee, and, you know, witnesses came and they said that, you know, if you do this, the people in the top 10 percentile of the population financially, the top 10% financially are going to get 10 times as much benefit from the cancellation of the debt as the lowest 10%. But they don't care. It just, you know, it's a good thing to say, oh, just cancel the debt. So now she's also pushing, Ayanna Pressley, rent cancellation. And she's been calling that literally a matter of life and death. At the same time, however, according to the Washington Free Beacon, she has been collecting cash from her own rental properties. Do as I say, not as I do, huh? Presley and her husband made as much as $15,000 in rental income in 2019 after purchasing a $658,000 Boston home, according to property records and financial disclosures reviewed by the Washington Free Beacon. The income appears to have come over the course of just 4 months. So that means, I guess, she bought it late in the year. The unit was first listed for $2,500 a month in June 2019, and the posting was removed in August. That's, you remove the posting, of course, when you get a tenant. Presley's office did not return multiple requests for comment on whether the Democrat collected rent during the pandemic, and her real estate agent also did not return a request for comment. It's nice. All these people are doing very well, aren't they? For doing well by doing good. She's from Chicago, you know. Came here to go to BU, never got a degree or anything like that, but became an aide for John Kerry, got elected to the city council, and then beat Mike Capuano, an ancient white dinosaur. Do we have the cuts from the police chief of Detroit, Michigan, James Craig? Taylor?
Yes, we do.
All right, this is James Craig. He's a tough guy, and he's a good guy, and he's a law and order man. And he was asked by the local Fox channel station in Detroit what he thought of the comments of specifically Maxine Waters. or we can go with Rashida
Tlaib.
Yeah,
we have the Rashida Tlaib cuts.
Okay, here's Rashida Tlaib. She's from Detroit, and he was asked about. She's the one who said that they should just do away with policing. Just no more talk about defunding the police. Just do away with the police. James Craig, the police chief of Detroit, Michigan.
If I've made comments on par with her, they'd be calling for my resignation.
Should Rashida Tlaib resign?
By a very small margin. I'd love to see her resign. I'd throw a goodbye party. I'd have the party, Charlie. I'd throw a party. Let her go. Who is she speaking for, Charlie?
She was speaking for the rest of the squad. That's who she was speaking for. Nancy Pelosi defended her, of course, and said, oh, she didn't say anything wrong. She was just speaking truth to power or some such bromide as that. And Nancy Pelosi has also this afternoon defended Maxine Waters and said she has nothing to apologize for either. 844-500-4242. And he also, we don't have it, but he said had some choice remarks for Maxine Waters about what she said about what's going on in Minnesota. 844-500-4242. Speaking of Michigan, as long as we're here, try not what I'm about to tell you, destroy your faith in the integrity of the Democrat caucus in the Michigan House of Representatives in Lansing. Michigan Democrat charged with DUI, resisting arrest, and weapons possession. The Representative Jewel Jones, for that is his name, Jewel Jones, was arrested and charged with driving under the influence, resisting arrest, and weapons possession. He was arrested after a vehicle collision. The judge released Jones on a $15,000 personal bond and ordered him to abstain from alcohol, illegal drugs, and recreational marijuana, submit to random drug and alcohol testing, and surrender to the Michigan State Police all weapons, except those he needs in his National Guard duty. Here's the great part I like. He was so confrontational after driving his vehicle into a ditch while allegedly drunk that state troopers used a taser and pepper spray on him, a prosecutor said Friday. Local 4 Detroit, that's Fox, said Jones, quote, listen to this, continued to be confrontational, uncooperative, and using status of importance by flashing badges instead of the IDs being asked for by law enforcement. Apparently they give the Michigan state reps badges, just like they used to give badges to the state reps in Massachusetts. You know, when you flash a badge at somebody when they ask for your driver's license, it's just a fancy way of asking the eternal question. The eternal question.
You know who I am?
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, we know who you are. You're Representative Jewel Jones of Detroit, and you're under arrest. 844-500-4242.
We don't need no badges.
I guess the Detroit police just wanted his driver's license. Or the Michigan State Police. Steve, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Steve.
Yes, I'm calling because I've been following the Chauvin trial.
Yes.
And I thought that he was guilty prior to following the trial. Once I heard all the evidence, I thought the defense made a convincing case that he's actually innocent. And the reasons that I say that are you don't hear on the news in any sort of detail all the conditions that Floyd had, including a blood pressure over 220, over 160. His coronary artery was blocked by 90%.
Right.
And most important, they don't report all the things, the many, many things that the police did correctly in trying to arrest him without harming him. And
right. What about all the drugs in his system, too, Steve? I mean, it wasn't just fentanyl. He had methamphetamines. He had cocaine. He had marijuana. He had all kinds of stuff. There's one part in their little bit of a tape you can hear him say. I think he said, I think I ate too much or words to that effect about the drugs. And the defense asked one of the prosecution witnesses, what did he say? And they made him play it over and over again for the jury. And he kept saying, I think I took too much. And it's a little bit muffled, but once you hear it about 10 times, you know what he said, right?
Agreed. And there's one other important thing. I thought that Chauvin looked very arrogant when he had his knee and he was when with his hands in his pocket, astride Floyd. But I did some research on body language, and the fact that the hand is in the pockets, the general consensus is that indicates fear. And following the trial along, everything that took place shows that Chauvin had legitimate reasons for fear, and he was fearful, and that position that he's in, which is being held against him, is actually clearance for his position. I know a lot of people don't believe in body language, but it's actually a science.
I believe in it. Thank you. Thanks for the call, Steve. I'm glad to see somebody's watching the trial, because I don't think many people are. I don't think it's getting great ratings for CNN either, obviously, from what we've seen over the last couple of weeks.
How many times are we going to see the same show over and over?
Right. Right.
That's all
and,
it
you
is.
You know, another guy that I think hasn't gotten nearly enough coverage is the guy who had the fake $20 bill passed on him. I mean, that guy, you know, he says he feels guilty and all that, but what the hell was he supposed to do? I mean, the store policy was, if you take a queer, as they say, a queer bill, you have to eat it. I mean, he was out $20. The guy, you know, George Floyd handed him a obviously bogus bill. And so what was he supposed to do? He had to call the cops if he was going to lose $20. And he's not like a rich guy from the suburbs. He lived with his mother and his sister upstairs from the convenience store. I mean, he had no money. And George Floyd was just trying to grab some money. He was a junkie. That's the reality of it. His girlfriend made it clear when she was on the stand that they were both junkies. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Follow Howie on Twitter, at Howie Carr Show. You won't regret it.
You regret it to his dying day. If ever he lives that long.
Howie Carr is back.
Get clinically proven blood pressure support with delicious Superbeats heart chews by visiting superbeatsradio.com/Howie. And when you buy two bags, they'll throw in the third for free. That's superbeatsradio.com/Howie, superbeatsradio.com/Howie. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Should Maxine Waters be expelled from Congress?
Yes, she should be.
Oh, it's still losing some support here. 96% say yes, as opposed to 98% when we started.
That's right. She better give $100,000 to her daughter to have another mailing put out to swing the vote even more in her favor. 844-500-4242. Ernest, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Ernest.
Good evening, sir. This issue with the George Floyd case, his family sure cleaned house on it. Minnesota gave them that money right away. Before it even went to court.
Ernest. You're so right about that. Usually, don't you wait to see how the verdict goes before you settle the civil case? They settled the civil case, gave the family $27 million. $27 million.
Guy was a crackhead.
He was a junkie, and his girlfriend admitted as much. And the toxicology report was devastating. And but you know they're just looking to cut their losses. But I'm not sure this is a way to cut their losses. Thanks for the call, Ernest. Good point, John. You're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Howie, how you doing?
Good.
Long time listener. My wife actually talked to you about 20 years ago about the lines on the electric bills. But the whole Chauvin case, should George Floyd have died with a knee in his neck? No, absolutely not. But other than that, the whole thing is right. He shouldn't have been on the street. Chauvin shouldn't be in trouble for it, my son's a police officer, and they shouldn't be, treating police officers the way they do. It's time that all of us need to stand up against the small minority that's supporting that.
Yeah, I don't think the majority of any ethnic group supports this anti-police movement, this defund the police movement either. You know, John Kennedy, I thought, had a great line. He didn't get much play, actually, considering how good it was. The senator from Louisiana, he said, if you don't like the cops, the next time you have a problem, call a crackhead. And that's, you know, again, that's a play on the old 70s bumper sticker. If you don't like cops, next time you got trouble, call a hippie. But it's true. And you know, nobody wanted George Floyd dead. But he made some terrible choices, and he might have been dead even if he had been lying at his house, wherever, or his home, wherever he lived, and in bed. I mean, he had so much fentanyl in him. That's a deadly drug. I mean, look at how many people are dying of fentanyl. More and more of it's coming into the country. It's easy to make, and the borders are wide open, and more and more people are going to die. It's heroin is what it is. And he was a I don't know, you call him a crackhead or a junkie, whatever you want to call him. He was definitely a drug addict, and he was an ex-con. And again, we're all sorry he's dead, and he shouldn't have died, but. He's not the martyr that he's been made out to be. Beth, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Beth.
Hi, Howie. I just want to say quickly, if I were George Floyd's parents, I'd be so ashamed of myself for the horrible job I did raising my son. I wouldn't be suing anybody. That young man, or that man, I don't know how young he was, led a dissipated and useless and destructive life. And if I raised any of my kids to be that way, I would be totally shamefaced and apologizing to the rest of society.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I got a lot of kids. I don't feel like I'm responsible if any of them go bad, actually. But, you know, the thing is, it set the whole tone for the trial, didn't it, for them to settle the civil case before the criminal case? I mean, that's an unprecedented decision by a large municipality or jurisdiction, I think. And it's just they don't know what's going to happen. I mean, we have a pretty good idea what's going to happen. They're going to feel like they have to find him guilty of something, and they will. But still, I mean, all that money, I don't know. Thanks for the call, Beth. 844-500-4242. It is Patriots Day. When we come back, we'll take more calls. And I'm going to read you the orders that the British soldiers got on the 18th of April in 75. Hardly a man is now alive. They were told to go and pick up guns. This was a precursor to why the Second Amendment was written into the United States Constitution. The Brits certainly understand that you did not want a well-organized militia, or whatever the exact word they used is. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. And again, it is Patriots Day in Massachusetts and Maine. It was a state holiday. And it was to commemorate the shot heard around the world, or as Ted Kennedy once put it, the shirt heard around the world. We looked for the cut. We can't seem to find it. It's around. I'll find it when I get back to Massachusetts in one of my desks. And so the shirt heard around the world was fired at the bridge, and the Brits had been dispatched to go to collect weapons. And here's the actual order from April 18th, 1775, General Thomas Gage, he ordered Lieutenant Colonel Francis Smith and his 10th Regiment Foot to march to Lexington and Concord with the following orders. Having received intelligence that a quantity of ammunition, provisions, artillery tents, and a small arms have been collected at Concord for the avowed purpose of raising and supporting a rebellion against His Majesty, You will march with the Corps of Grenadiers and Light Infantry put under your command with the utmost expedition and secrecy to Concord, where you will seize and destroy all artillery, ammunition, provisions, tents, small arms, and all military stores, whatever. Okay? And then we had the battle. And for a number of years, I lived in Acton, across the street from the old graveyard in the middle of town, which is right near the Concord line. And one of the commanders of the Minutemen that was killed was buried in that graveyard. And that's where Whitey supposedly was going to kill me from the pick me off. But no, that was I still don't believe it, but I just thought I'd mention it. I used to go in there every once in a while and look at that grave of the Minuteman. I think it was a colonel. Forget his, I should know the name. I can't remember it, though. 844-500-4242. So tomorrow, in honor of the day after Patriots Day and its meaning, what is happening, there's going to be a press conference at the State House. State lawmakers joined the Stop Handgun Violence Group and parents of mass shooting victims to unveil new legislation that would ban the manufacture of guns that are forbidden to use in Massachusetts, such as assault weapons. Isn't that great? How appropriate on the very day after Patriots Day is celebrated. The lead sponsors, of course, are from Cambridge and Lawrence, as you might expect. It's going to be a virtual press conference, though, of course, a virtual press conference. 844-500-4242. How Massachusetts is it? You celebrate the attempt to stop the British from picking up the guns of the citizenry. And the day after, the new representatives of the authoritarian government have a press conference to announce they're going to try to take away everybody's guns again. 844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. If you'd like to talk to us, we'll take your calls on whatever issue. Here's a nice story from the Illegal Alien Beat. An illegal alien has been convicted and sentenced for repeatedly raping a child after federal immigration officials failed to deport him in the sanctuary state of California. Fredes Aguiar Menjivar, a 31-year-old illegal alien from El Salvador, was convicted and sentenced to 45 years in prison in Monterey County, California, on three counts of forcible rape of a child under 14 years old and one count of child molestation. She was younger than 14. He had been ordered deported by a federal immigration judge in June of 2016. The deportation, however, never occurred, and the child's sexual abuse began roughly 2 years later. So... Want a local John Doe case, a local Juan Doe case out of Brockton. A Brockton man who has been living under a false identity was arrested on last Wednesday, on charges of aggravated identity theft and misuse of a social security number. An individual referred to as John Doe was charged with one count of aggravated identity theft. According to charging documents, Juan Doe used the name and social security number of a U.S. citizen to apply for and obtain a Massachusetts Real ID driver's license. Doe also used this person's identifiers to apply for and receive pandemic unemployment insurance, PUA. So some of them are applying for PPP, payroll protection. This guy just wanted some of the extra unemployment money. So that's what's going on right now. 844-500-4242. If you want to talk about any of these topics, give us a call here on the Howie Carr Show, and we will take your calls. Mentioned earlier in the day that they're making a big deal out of Adam Toledo, 13 years old. CBS edited the footage of the body cam footage of the Chicago cop so you wouldn't see that he was holding a gun a moment before he was shot to death. He had been out having a little amusement, apparently, allegedly, shooting at cars with a 21-year-old. But so you're hearing Adam Toledo's name, but you're not hearing anything about the 7-year-old Jaclyn Adams. A 7-year-old girl was killed and her father seriously wounded in a shooting yesterday afternoon as they were getting food at a McDonald's drive-thru in the Holman Square neighborhood. The father and his daughter, Jaclyn, were in a Silver Infiniti at about 4:20 p.m. at the McDonald's when they were shot. Two people got out of a gray car and started shooting at the victim's car. Police said the shooting was believed to be gang-related, and less than 3 hours later, two people were shot in their car at a Popeyes in Humboldt Park, I think that's on the west side, which investigators believe is connected to the McDonald's shooting. Eric, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Eric.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, I want to call, sir, because I was talking about Black Lives Matter, and to myself, I think that's somewhat hypocritical. There was a two police officers shot a while back in Houston, and one died and one was on life support. I don't know what happened, and I hope nothing happened, with all due respect, but he was shot by a illegal alien, and hey, where's the outrage? Or am I missing something?
And I think that's a rhetorical question, isn't it, Eric? I mean, you know the answer to that question, you know?
When they had the first riots, I believe in Minnesota, there was a retired police officer. I think he worked as security guard. I don't know if he owned.
I know what you're talking about. You're talking about St. Louis. There's a guy named David Dorn. He was a friend of a guy who owned a pawn shop, and his friend said, they're going crazy in St. Louis because of this George Floyd case in Minnesota. Can you go down and stand in front of my pawn shop so I don't lose everything out of it? And so David Dorn went down there. He's over 70 years old, and these thugs just jumped out of the car and just gunned him down in cold blood. And his widow was on Fox, I believe, and she may have appeared at a couple of Trump press conferences, but you're right. I mean, nobody cared. Nobody said her name, unlike George Floyd or Breonna Taylor. Nobody said the name of David Dorn, even though he was a black guy. There was another guy who was killed, I think, in San Jose or somewhere up around there in California. He was a retired federal police officer of some kind, and he was doing the same kind of guard work that David Dorn was doing, and he was shot down too in cold blood. And I regret to say I've forgotten his name. Thanks for the call, Eric, though. Jones, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jones.
Hey, Howie, this is Jonesy up here in Hoffington. All I wanted to say is in 75, in this day, this would be the British first red flag law.
You know what? That is a really good way to put it, Jonesy. I hadn't even thought about that.
Okay.
Jonesy, you weren't going to get a court appearance. Not that a court appearance would mean much if they decided to go after you, but you're right. This was the first red flag law. It didn't work out too well. You know, the red flag law in Indiana didn't work out too well, tragically, last week. They tried to use the red flag law on that guy who killed the 8 people at the FedEx facility. And they took away his gun, and so he just went out and he bought 2 more guns because they'd never had a court hearing for him. But that's an excellent point. Red flag laws haven't been working since 1775. Joe, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Joe.
Howie Carr, thank you so much for taking my call. So just remembering, I believe it was Jefferson who said, vigilance is the constant price of liberty. Here, you know, it's Patriots Day. Here we are almost 250 years later, and the gun grabbers are still at it trying to grab our guns. We have to be constantly vigilant. The Minutemen probably said, you'll get our guns when you take our cold, dead fingers off it.
Right. So the British suffered a lot of casualties, but the Minutemen suffered a lot of casualties, too. It was a bloody, bloody day at that bridge. Thanks for the call, Joe. But they knew what was at stake, and they were willing to fight. Joe, another Joe, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, hi, Howie. Good to talk to you.
Good. Good to talk to you.
My point about the Chauvin trial, and I had another point to make about the illegal immigration, but about the Chauvin trial, the defense pointed out today that the department's own guidelines for non-lethal procedures is the knee on the neck to hold a subject down.
Right.
So I don't see how there can be any complaint that he was doing what his department says is proper procedure for non-lethal.
I agree, Joe, but you know as well as I do that this is all about giving the mob Barabbas or whatever you want to call it, giving them a sop and trying to minimize the looting. That's what this is all about.
The other thing I'd like to just get in, if I could, about the illegal immigration or aliens or whatever you want to call them. If, as they say, that those countries, what do they call it, the Golden Triangle? Or the
Northern Triangle.
The North, whatever. So if they're so poor and impoverished, they have no money, they have no work, but these people are sending their children up through Mexico, and they're paying $5,000 to $7,000 per child.
Right.
To get them smuggled into this country, where are they getting the money from?
I know. And now one of the proposals to stop the trafficking is to send basically welfare checks down to the Northern Triangle. But all that would mean would be that they had the money to send the kids up, and the coyotes would sell it by saying, look, if they're willing to give you this much money to stay in the country, it's because it's going to cost them so much more if you and your kids go up there and go on welfare. So you might as well give us the money and we'll smuggle you into the country and you'll never have to work again. I mean, it's the craziest thing I've ever seen. But I think they want this to go on. I think this is all about importing a new underclass. I mean, even people like Cesar Chavez, even people like Bernie Sanders were opposed to this kind of massive illegal immigration back in the day. Now Chavez is dead, and Bernie Sanders thinks it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. Thanks for the call, Joe. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
You're tuned into the Howie Carr Radio Network.
Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
The Howie Carr Show.
Because there's an interesting fact, in case you didn't know. Hard hats are actually unisex. Everybody's laughing.
That's Kamala Harris. She thought that was a joke. Wow. Everybody's laughing. Talk about out of touch, huh? Peter, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Peter.
Hey, Howie. Nice to talk to you today.
Thank you.
Hey, so, on April 20th, 1775, the local media in Boston interviewed the Sons of Liberty, and the representatives from the Sons of Liberty said that they disavowed all of the violence on the previous day, and they thought that the Minutemen who were contributed to the violence ought to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, and that they thought that violent action was certainly not needed and not called for.
Thank you, Peter. Something tells me that they would not have said that. But the thing is, I get the feeling that they would have really appreciated the way the Commonwealth of Massachusetts has kept everything under control this last year, especially keeping the taverns shut down. The taverns were where a lot of this sedition was planned, but you couldn't be planning much sedition in any taverns, tap rooms, pubs in Massachusetts over the last year or so, could you? Not unless you like to gather amongst the plexiglass.
Your papers, please.
Yavol, your papers, please. Jack, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, a little contrast, Howie, to put things in perspective. We had American heroes that resisted gun confiscation at the bridge at Concord. A scant 250 years later, the people of Concord mandated that the prince who married the prince is required reading for third graders. What the hell is going on, pal?
I didn't know that, but I can't say as I'm surprised. You know, the town of Concord also, a few years back, outlawed plastic water bottles. Remember that? And shortly after outlawing the plastic water bottles, there was the big water main broke from the Western Reserve, the Western Reservoir, and everybody had to drive over to Maynard, a working class oasis in a sea of beautiful people and beautiful towns, and buy their water. Thanks for the call, Jack. 844-500-4242, 603. How Boston is it? Where today people would normally be running the marathon, now the marathon bomber receives a stimulus check in prison. I think he probably does get one, actually. All the prisoners got checks. So is he going to drop the lawsuit now, Sarnieff, the Joker, now that he has enough money to buy himself a new hat? Isn't that what he wanted? He's very angry about that.
I gotta tell you, with all the other things I'm worrying about, this is not one of them.
Ugh. The Boston Marathon, gone. And I'm sad because of what killed it. See you tomorrow. I'm Howie Carr.